morning. God is good all the time. Yeah, we're not worried about, you know, the rain and, you know, the just not, you know, cloudy weather. As a matter of fact, we're thankful for it, right? All these amazing creations of God that we could just continue to admire time and time again. I'm gonna admit to you, I never wanted to have to come up here after Samantha Fox. You know, but you know, she does it every time, you know. Holy is the Lord, amen. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord God, we're just so thankful for another day. To be able to just come to you at this time and just to look to you and say, holy is the Lord, Lord. Lord, we are always amazed. We're always excited for everything that you have in store for us, Lord. I pray that everyone who is here today will hear the words directly from you, Lord, and it will touch everyone's heart in its own individual way, Lord. We're thankful just to have you, Lord. We're thankful to have you in our lives, Lord. And even though we don't deserve it, Lord, you've still been so faithful to us, Lord. You've shown us what true love is, Lord. And we're just so thankful for it. So we just bring all these things before you in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so before I get ahead of myself, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to read just a few verses from verse 1. Oh, perfect. And I'm using the New King James Version as well. So this works perfectly. So I'll read from the screens. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are Hazazon, Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And so Judah gathered together to ask the Lord, to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. This is the Lord's word, and I pray he add his richest blessings for his name's sake. My title for today is Firm During Uncertainty. I work, you all know me, Ron Agard. I, you know, have since school all the way up until now, I've worked in supply chain. So supply chain is a very fancy word for just imports, right? It's getting, you know, products, materials from, you know, one place, it could be out of the country, you know, into the United States. So literally all of the clothes that you're wearing on your back right now has gone through what would be called supply chain, right? Because it could have been made in China, it could have been made, you know, in another country, it could have even been made here in the United States. But for you to have gotten it here, wherever it is that you got it, it had to have been transported there in some particular way, right? Now, my particular work in that field is what would be called reverse supply chain. So, like, looking at how everything happened, like, once it's delivered, and then trying to figure out if anything went wrong, how to fix it, and then also, you know, if nothing went wrong, how do you make it better, right? So we all might be probably Amazon shoppers here. They're always doing that continuously. When they started off, we were happy to get our orders within the week. Now they're pretty much guaranteeing you to get it to you either the following day or the same day. You know, you could literally be in your bed ordering stuff, and in a few hours, the order is at your doorstep, right? So most of my bosses had me in place, and the teams that I worked on in place, to try to put safeguards in place to make sure that nothing would happen. So it's either to reduce the amount of mistakes that's happening when things are being delivered places, or to prevent mistakes from happening entirely. So they just want to avoid it because essentially that means revenue is being lost. They're losing money, right? So that is essentially the type of work that I was doing. It was to, you know, no matter what happens, you know what I mean? Anything that's unplanned for, that they had me in place to make sure that I was mitigating all of what could potentially happen. So now, like, let's look. We're gonna jump. We just heard the scripture reading a second ago, but we're gonna jump to chapter 17 because this is a situation that we just read where there is a large army that is coming to attack Judah, which is the area, the kingdom of, or the lower part of Israel that Jehoshaphat was ruling over at this point in time. But to understand the significance of that, right? We get a really good picture of that in verse 17, right? In chapter 17, verse 1, right? So in verse 1, it says, in chapter 17, it says, then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel, right? So he just took over from his father. Now here's where things get really, really cool. And he placed all troops in all fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which is Asa, his father, which Asa, his father, had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. Now, not his actual father. Now, we all know this was this part of the Bible was written in Hebrews, so there wasn't like a particular like grandfather, you know, at least in that particular language. But they're just saying like, you know, that is his descendant. So in his father David, he did not seek the Baals. So he was walking a straight line, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the places and wooden images from Judah. All right, so I think that's good enough. Now, he really started putting things in place to protect the kingdom that he was ruling over, right? Now, to get a full description of that, right, we gotta jump down to verse 14. And then this is when it becomes blatantly clear, like just how much he had in place to make sure that nobody would be able to attack him. Nothing would ever go wrong. Nobody would ever be able to come and attack and pretty much take over the kingdom of Judah where Jehoshaphat was ruling. Here's the numbers. Verse 14. These are the numbers according to their fathers' houses. Of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adna the captain, and with him 300,000 men of mighty men of valor. And next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. Right? We're still adding up here. Verse 16. And next to him, Amasiah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself to the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Next verse. Of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him 200,000 men armed with bow and shield. Next one. And next to him, Jehozabad, and with him, 180,000 prepared for war. These served the king besides those the king put in fortified cities throughout all of Judah. So these are some serious numbers here. At this point in time, this is like very remarkable. He really wanted to make sure that he was fortifying the city. He had as much of the help that he was needed, and it sounded like nothing could go wrong. Even in a few other verses, it mentions, you know, because of the amount of power that he was accumulating at that time, other countries were also bringing him like flock, goats, and stuff like that to, you know, as tribute. Like, look, we understand how powerful you are. We understand who you are, right? So here you are. We have thousands of goats. We have thousands of flock for you to just use in your kingdom. However, as tribute, right? Because we're showing respect for how you are. Now, these are all the methods of preparation, right? Prevention, security, all these things to put in place to ensure himself, right, that he was in the best position to endure any particular problem that could potentially happen. Fair enough? So, understand, right? He's ruling over Judah. Israel, if you ever have one of those cool Bibles that shows the map of how it was made up, Israel was the northern part of the area, and Judah, which is the area he was ruling, was right below it. And that's where like Jerusalem was located and places like that, right? So at this point in time, it's very evident in the scripture that Israel was going through a bit of a rough time. I mean, it's not that impossible to believe these days, right? But during that time, they had rulers that were, you know, practicing, you know, worshiping other gods and so on and so forth. So to them, at this point in time, he viewed them as a potential enemy that could attack at any time, right? So he made sure to keep everything in store for just in case the enemy to the north decided to attack, right? Now let's read what happens now. We're gonna jump back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're gonna go right back to verse 1 again. So it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are Hezazon, Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So he was preparing, just to put this into perspective, right? He was doing all of this stuff, making all of these preparations to prepare for the enemy to the north. The enemy to the east came in. That's a very typical. Now, and then just to put it into perspective, right? Because it says in what is that verse? At the end of verse 2, it says they are in Hazon Tamar, which is En Gedi, right? So that particular area was already in the territory of Judah, where he was ruling. They already breached through the borders that he had fortified already. They were already in it. They could have attacked at any point in time, right? And this is like, you know, I appreciate the honesty, you know, because, you know, this is a man of God. He's following, you know, at least at this point in time, he's doing his best to follow the God's teachings and really lead a straight line. He has some mixed reviews. If you ask about him, you know, across different people, he has mixed reviews because he made some mistakes. But for the most part, God was still with him, right? He was still within God's will. Now, at least at this point in time. And I appreciate the honesty because it says he, despite all of those things, he feared what was gonna happen because this completely took him by storm. Entirely. And this is what happens to us as adults, as Christians. Like we're not susceptible. We're not guaranteed everything is always going to go perfect. No matter how far ahead you think of certain things, you think of all of your steps, right? Something could still go wrong. Amen? So, and, you know, the funny thing is, like, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. You know, I don't know if it's like a man's, like, personality or mentality or a black man's mentality, you know what I mean? But like, I try to be a problem solver, right? So like, when something goes wrong, the first thing that I look to try to do is to fix it, right? I'm trying to come in with a solution that works for everybody, for both parties. I see some people smiling already because they're like, that's definitely me too, you know what I mean? But that, you know, once you get me invested, you know what I mean, then I'm all in. I'm going to roll up my sleeves, and I'm going to try to come and fix a situation, help a situation, something to make sure that it works for everybody, right? But in this, I love how verse 3 ended, right? And we're going to get into that a little bit more, right? Because it says, and Jehoshaphat feared, but here's what happens next. And set himself to seek the Lord. And then I love the rest of this. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He didn't only put it on himself, right? He included the entire kingdom to seek the Lord out, right? To have their eyes set on the Lord. So this is one of the things that I'm most, you know, like, you know, It's problems everywhere. It's problems everywhere. I remember reading like this joke on social media. It was like, the worst hood that I have ever been to was adulthood. You know what I mean? Because like that, it just doesn't, like being an adult, like it's just like uncertainty is everywhere. You know, you turn on the TV, uncertainty, negative news, problems everywhere. You know, in our own lives, right? Still problems. You fix something and there's still two other things waiting, right? Amen? So this is what's going on. This is the current problem that Jehoshaphat, he did not see coming, period, right? But the thing is, like, despite everything that happened during the time that the Bible covers Jehoshaphat, this is like, this chapter, this scripture was like a world class, to me at least, example of how to be a leader, how to be a believer, you know what I mean? Because, and we're going to read about that, right? Verse 4, so Judah gathered to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Don't roll over that. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, and in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, right? So, we see, despite him being a ruler, he's still openly praying. He's not being, you know, hidden about it. He's not being secretive about it. He is including everybody, right? Now, we're going to jump down to, now from after this point, he starts a prayer. The prayer was awesome, but I'm going to focus particularly on how he ends that prayer, right, in verse 12. If we jump down to verse 12, it says, there we go. It says, O our God, will you not judge them? For, watch this, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. I mean, you gotta be, just to be able to admit that as an adult, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta really humble yourself, right? But, there's always a but with Christ. There's always a but in this amazing Christian life that we get to be a part of, right? But our eyes are upon you. Amen? Can I read that again? How awesome is that, right? Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, right? We saw the numbers. We saw all of the army that Jehoshaphat had, right? We saw and we read all of the preparation that was already done, that was already put in place, right? Here he is. This is his prayer. This is his prayer, right? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Amen. It doesn't get any better than that, right? So, up to this point, right, the first thing that he chooses to do is to pray, right? There's an army in his kingdom. They can attack at any particular point in time, right? But you don't see any commands given, no mentions of aggression yet. Men, go get your swords. Men, get the horses, the chariots, right? You know, there's no mentions of that. The first step that he does is to pray. Amen? So, the other thing that I truly appreciate, you know what I mean, and is the prayer that, you know, he brings everyone together, right? Because the reality is, like we said, we all agree, there's problems everywhere, right? But he brings everyone together and they pray together. It's not bad to have that circle around you to help lift you up and you lift up the people around you, right? The right people, right? It's okay to do that. It doesn't have to necessarily, that's why we come to church, right? You know, to be in the house of the Lord, to give God all the praise. But the thing is, like, throughout the week, we have meetings, you know what I mean? And it's all the same thing, because we're just pretty much giving God all the praise and the glory that he deserves. But in that, it's also all of us coming together to do it, right? It's all one joint effort to accomplish that same thing. And here, I love how there's several examples, right? And you even see it as he's praying. He's talking about, you know, calling everyone together to pray together, right? So the next thing that I really appreciate, and this is where we get to pat ourselves on the back, specifically Good Tidings. We're going to jump back to chapter 17 really, really quickly. This is going to be like a quick intermission, right? Chapter 17, and we're going to go to verse 7. Now, this is where I'm a YPM youth leader, you know what I mean? We're getting ready to end the term before going into summer. And of course, there's summer activities that's going to be continuing all throughout until we go into the fall. We're really busy. I'm not sure, in case anyone isn't sure or doesn't understand, Good Tidings, at least as it relates to, the youth programming that we're trying to put together, we're really, really busy. Just to put it in perspective, we're here 10 o'clock to about 2 or 3 o'clock on a Sunday. On a Saturday, we're here, probably from, 9? There's people here from, 8 or 9, right? Preparing for youth activities. And the last program, which is YPM, ends at 7, okay? We're here all day. The busiest day is arguably this Saturday every week. Arguably, all right? And we could debate about that. But, just something to think about. We're really, we've pulled in about 30 people this year. Amen. We're already working on planning camp, so please pray for us. And, just trying to keep things fresh. Community Day is coming up. Just plugging all this stuff in. Now, in relation to that, we have to really put appreciation to how we focus on preaching from the Bible specifically, right? We have to focus on that because it's not something that is the focus for every church that's out there, right? But I want to hone in on that really quickly because I kind of saw something here that I thought that it was hard to roll over. Verse 7, also in the third year, so remember, this is right when he's Jehoshaphat took control of Judah, right? The cities of Judah, right? So also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah, right? And with them, he sent Levites, Shemaiah, Nathaniah, Zebediah, Eshael, that's a rough one, Shemiramoth, I think I got it, Jehonathan, Adonijah, I'm doing this, Tobijah, I'm rolling, right? And Tobedonijah, the Levites, right? These are all people that he's sending to go and teach, right? He took the city over, right? We also read in other parts of this same chapter, he removed the different idol statues and stuff like that that were in the land. When he took control, he removed all of that, right? And then now, instead of just continuing to build up his army, he's sending leaders to teach in the communities. You understand what I'm saying? And with them, Elishama and Jehoram, the priests. Two more verses, verse 9. So they taught, right? It's going to end so well. Just wait for it. So they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Listen to how this ends, man. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. They got stronger just from the teaching, just from spreading the knowledge of God. There is strength. There is strength in the Lord. There is strength in learning and building up your knowledge and continuously teaching yourself. There's strength in that. Because the thing is, the reality is you're going to start moving different. You're going to start acting different. And it's going to show, right? And people are going to start to see you differently. He did that across the whole kingdom, and that alone caused more fear in the kingdom, around the areas of his kingdom, right? We can't roll over that. So this is one of those things where, like, I couldn't help but to really commend Good Tidings, because that is something that we've done literally from day one, you know, 12:15. So let me move along. I get excited, you know. All right. So there's literally reward. All right. And summing it up, there's literally reward for the ministries, for being active. There's literally reward for that. Now we'll jump back to the regular scheduled programming, right? Which is chapter 20, and we're gonna go to verse 13. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, in the midst of the assembly, right? So again, they're praying together. They're still together as one, just praying. Mind you, he already admitted that there is a large army that is bigger than his own, already in the city and coming to look to attack at any particular time. But they're praying, right? So now watch this. This is like where things really, you know, you start to heat up. And then for me, I have all these lights on me, so I'm really hot up here, right? Verse 15, and he said, listen, all of you of Judah, right? And you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, king of Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed, because of this great multitude, the battle is not yours. I don't care how big this army is. I don't care who it is, right? This is my battle, not yours. Step aside. I'll take control. Amen. The uncertainty, it happens all the time. All the time. And the thing is, like, it's everywhere, right? It's, we're watching TV. Now it's to the point where the news, you know, networks that we have available to us are profiting off of the negativity, right? The better the ratings is, the worse the news, right? A plane door falls off, ratings, right? It's not like some, you know, our wonderful church has 100 or so different kids coming in and here, in and out of here every Saturday. That would never make the news, right? But it's all of the negativity that's going around. That's what they project on TV, right? And here we are, we get the assurance during all of this uncertainty. Listen to the sentence that I just put together. Reassurance during uncertainty, right? Something that is solid, that is firm, when everything around it is a sinking foundation, essentially, right? Sinking sand, right? So now, as we continue, it's the first mentions of the battle preparations thus far, right? As we continue, if we go to verse 20, this is chapter 20, verse 20. This is where, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the most unique of the war stories that we have in the Bible, I want to say, right? You can't make this stuff up. And this is how I'm going to close, right? So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Love that, okay? Think about all the different things going on in the world, right? I mean, he is just telling us to do the basics, right? Just do the basics, right? Then it continues in verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing," right? So this is the first mentions of preparation for them to now go and oppose the multitude, the large army that is coming, right? Jehoshaphat and the leaders, they have a military. We just read about that. But for some interesting reason, we are reading in verse 21, right? He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. Listen to this. As they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercies endureth forever." He wants us to praise him in all the drama that's going on, everything, no matter what direction it's coming from, up, left, right, down, it doesn't matter how big that problem is. The Lord is saying, just praise me, right? Worship me, pray to me, Lord. He's basically saying, look, just keep your eyes set on me. Keep your eyes set on me. There's nothing else that you have to do, right? And then look at how it ends. Verse 22. "And now, when they began to sing and to praise," I mean, we don't even get the details on how this was possible, right? We don't even know. And that's how it works, right? We're not supposed to know. We're not supposed to know, right? Just know that God is going to take control as long as we trust him, right? That's it.
That is it, right? Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. I just want to make sure we got that, right? We understand the whole, we heard the whole detail of everything that he did, that the way he described that particular army. He knew that it was bigger and better than the one he had. We don't see any mentions of any soldier doing any kind of attack, right? There was no plans being set, right? He sent the most non-aggressive of people to the front lines of this war to sing. And by the end of that same verse, it says, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Amen. Your problems are not your problems. The ball is not in your court. He is telling us to come off of the court, right? I will take control. I will be that leading star to take control of your situation, that big situation that's up there. God is going to take control each and every time. Just believe. So I'm going to end with that. I pray that the Lord will add his richest blessing on this word for his name's sake. Amen.